Hello, forks and spoons, knives and other cutlery. I'm your host, Christina.
And I'm Tori.
And this is episode 3 of Calling the Shots, the podcast where we reminisce on the good old Twilight days.
Yes, it is.
Today's icebreaker quiz is called Every Single Twilight Fan Will Get an Accurate Hero-Villain Combo by Taking This Quiz. That's a really long-worded quiz title.
Like Panic at the Disco song title.
But this quiz is brought to you by Edward and his famous quote, "What if I'm not a superhero? What if I'm the bad guy?" Meyer, chapter 5, page 92. Tori and I seriously went back into our book to find exactly where this phrase was from.
We had to cite our sources.
Yeah, I realized that this quote is not the same in the movie.
No, in the movie, it's "What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?" Not superhero. It is kind of weird to say, what if I'm not a superhero?
What if I'm the bad guy? What if
Yeah, that's weird to say.
I guess that is weird to say. All right, so let's get to this quiz. What's the first question?
First question. Pick a mythical creature, and our options are zombie, dragon, or unicorn. I'm going to go with dragon. Because I think they're cool.
I'm going to pick zombie because that's like the closest thing I'll get to. Well, is a zombie closer to a vampire?
They're more humanistic. I mean, a unicorn wouldn't be close to a vampire.
Maybe zombies are close to vampires because they're dead.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pick zombie. Okay. The zomb. The next one is pick a weapon. And the options are a dagger, poison, or a bow and arrow.
What is the context? Like, what are we using the weapon for? I'm going to go for poison because I cannot shoot a bow and arrow and I don't trust myself with a dagger. Like, I trust myself with poison, but...
I'm going to click dagger because vampires? What's next?
All right. The next question is, pick a pasta.
Ah, yes, a question.
There's some pictures of pasta. It looks like a nice... penne with a red sauce. Pesto spaghetti. I don't know what the hell this yellow pasta is, but it looks gross and delicious at the same time. So I'm going to go for the yellow pasta.
We were literally just talking about, like, you just brought up something about when you used to work at Olive Garden. And then here's a question about pasta. I'm going to do the penne because I'm allergic to pesto.
Oh, yeah, it's got the nuts in it.
Got the pine nuts. Pick a personality trait that closely matches your own. Introverted / shy, enthusiastic / optimistic, or logical / realist.
Shy. I would say I will probably go for logical / realist. I'm also introverted and shy, but...
I'm not much of a realist, as my therapist would tell me.
I think I'm too much of a realist. That might be my problem.
Okay, what's next?
All right.
Speaking of superheroes.
Pick a superpower. Invisibility, mind reading, or seeing the future. Definitely seeing the future. Alice Cullen icon.
Oh, man. I'm torn between invisibility and mind reading because, like, I hate attention.
But listen, if you were invisible, you could, like, get on a plane for free. I, like, think about that all the time. Like, I could listen to people's conversations, all sneaky.
Oh, that's true.
You could essentially do any of the things while
we're invisible. You could basically read minds while being invisible.
Yeah.
Could, like, be present for the thoughts. Yeah. Again. I'm going to pick invisibility. And the last question, finally, how do you feel about love? I'm currently in love. I believe in finding the right person for me, or I'm pessimistic. Now ask me next week.
That's you. You're pessimistic now. Okay, I'll ask you next week. I'm currently in love. My anniversary is in 2 days, actually.
And then I'm just like, I don't know what that's like. I'm like, oh. Ooh.
Okay, what did you get?
So I got Rosalie and Laurent. And
oh, those are so good.
The description says, outwardly, you come across as assertive and badass. Okay. But your sharpness acts as a protection towards those that you care about. If someone betrays you, you cut them out of your life for good. You tend to be good at reading people and value your true friends. Actually, that's pretty accurate.
Nice. I got Jacob and James.
Oh.
I would like to argue that Jacob is a hero in this. Don't know what he does to be heroic. However, I will go on and read the description. You're a carefree, independent, and determined type of person. However, watch your temperament. It can get you into trouble. That is very true. Trust is very important to you, so you tend to keep your loyal friends close. Okay.
Oh.
Very nice.
So we both value good friendship. That's good. Okie dokie. So now that we've gotten the quiz out of the way, for this episode, we were supposed to read chapters 10 through 7. But before we can even get into that, we're going to quickly summarize how chapters 1 through 9 went. Basically, Bella is chilling at her new school in this new town with some new friends. And some of them are human and others are not. The end. No, chapter 9 basically ends with
they were in Port Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, chapter 9 ends with Bella and Edward coming back home from Port Angeles, and she gets back and her dad's like, "How was it, Bella?" Bella goes, "That's fine." Nothing happens, as if she didn't almost die.
Yeah.
The title of chapter 10 is called Interrogations, which is fitting because that's all Bella did the day before when she was with Edward in the car. But yeah, she woke up in the morning getting ready for school and like thought that what happened the night before was a complete dream. Charlie had already left because he went to work. And when she gets outside, she realizes that Edward's waiting for her because he's going to take her to school.
How sweet. Very gentlemanlike.
In like the second page of chapter 10, Bella says, "I'm not quite that delicate." And I'm like, bitch, yes, you are.
What the heck? She almost dies every other chapter. What do you mean?
She's like that episode of SpongeBob where the guy has a full cast on and he's like, every night I...
Every morning I break my legs and every afternoon I break my arms.
Something about like every night I break my arms and every day I break my legs.
How tragic. That's really Bella.
And then Edward's like, "What, are you not going to question me again?" And then Bella starts to question him and they like go back and forth about whether or not Bella's questions are dumb or if Edward's just like, "I'm more concerned by the fact that you're still not afraid of me," which is true.
He can't help it. He dazzles her.
But at one point, as I was reading this, it really felt like Bella was one of those like, "Oh, I'm not like other girls."
Yeah.
Edward's like telling her about him being a vampire and Bella's just like, or Edward's like, "That doesn't scare you?" And Bella's just like, "No, I'm not like other girls." And then they get to school and Jessica finds Bella and she's like, "Girl, what happened?" And Bella's just like, "You know, we went to dinner and Edward took me home." And Jessica's like, "You gotta give me more, girl. Like, what happened?" But even before Bella met up with Jessica, Edward gave her like a heads up and was like, "Oh yeah, Jessica's gonna ask you about us and what happened yesterday." And Bella's like, what do I say about it? I'm like, what do you mean, what do you say about it? Like,
he's like, "I'm interested to see what you say about it." I'm like, oh,
like, why do they have to? Well, like, yeah, I guess I would ask Edward, like, what am I allowed to say? Like, not so much on the whole, like, you're a vampire part, more of the, like, what is this relationship that we are growing here? And Edward's just like, "Well, you can tell her that we're dating." And I'm just like, oh.
I know.
Openly admitting it. Oh my God.
Every time he, like, says the word boyfriend or something, it sounds so weird. I'm like, sir, you're like 100 years old. You're not a boyfriend.
You're a man friend.
You're an elder friend.
But yeah, why does it also feels like they have to lie about them dating, which is like very strange to me.
Yeah, he is always like, "Oh, if people know about us, it'll be bad if this ends badly."
That reminds me of the TikTok that's like, "Nobody's gonna know. They're gonna know. How would they know?"
I don't fully understand Edward because he's like, "Nobody can know we're dating. Wait here, take my jacket. Don't worry, I'm gonna ride you home and I'll pick you up for school tomorrow. But wait, nobody can know we're together." all right, give me a kiss before class. I love you,
bitch. Exactly. I'm like, what is it? I don't understand. This is like, he's both chasing her, but like pushing her away at the same time.
And the mood swings.
I don't get it. So of course, Bella tells Jessica that she's interested in Edward, that they went to dinner. And Jessica's like, so did you guys like kiss yet? And Bella's like, no, it's not like that, even though it's totally going to be like that later on. And it's just kind of Bella being at school and everyone chatting with her. And then what else happens?
She just is like interrogating him at lunchtime, I think. Yeah, she asks him a bunch of questions, like, where did he go when he went hunting? And then he tells her that he likes mountain lions and Emmett likes grizzly bears.
Mm.
How sweet.
At one point, Edward says, well, so Edward brings a tray full of food to the table that Bella and him are sitting at. And he's like, obviously this food isn't for me, it's for you. But Bella asks him a question, like if he's ever been dared to eat food. And he said that he's done it before. But for some reason, that made me think of Edward as if he's like a hamster. So you know how hamsters store food in their mouth?
Yeah, because he like takes a piece of the pizza. Does he like swallow it?
I don't know.
Like, what happens? Do they ever say? Is it just like really gross to them? Do they not like digest it? Is he going to like throw up because of the pizza?
That's why I keep imagining him as a hamster. Like
it just stays in his cheeks. Edward Cullen with just these huge ass cheeks. Aw.
These chubby cheeks filled with food. And he's like, I gotta throw this up later.
Like Edward after dentist.
Oh my God. Wasn't the original one David after dentist?
Yeah, I think so. Why was I gonna say Charlie after dentist? I'm glad you said David because that sounds more right than Charlie.
Oh, is Charlie bit my finger, isn't it?
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'm just mixing them up. My brain doesn't work very well. It's fine.
It's okay.
Anyway, back to Twilight.
Oh, at one point when Edward's talking about how he and Emmett went hunting the last time, Bella asks him, so how do you hunt a bear without weapons? And I'm like, bitch, how do you think he hunted them without weapons?
I like wish I could see in her mind what she was picturing. Like before she got all the tea about the vampires, when she just like knew little details, how did she like imagine them on the ground, arms up, like walking around at the bear?
Trying to intimidate the bear, T-posing in front of the bear, like you can't stop me.
Shows him your fangs just in case he gets scared. Like, what do you think they did? They jumped and attacked him, bitch. No, they brought guns and knives and then just feasted after they shot their kill. That's not how it works, Bella. Use your brain, ma'am.
After that, Edward goes, oh, we have to go back to class now. And then they go back to class and that's how chapter 10 ends. And then we get to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is called Complications. And Edward and Bella are on their way to lab to the biology class. Oh, and they watch a movie and there's a lot of tension.
Their sexual tension is through the roof watching this biology movie. They're like clutching at the edge of their seats, trying not to touch each other.
And I'm so uncomfortable, also really confused. I'm like, you guys literally sat in a car with each other. Why are you suddenly losing your shit in class?
Yeah, but they can talk then. They can't talk during this.
So?
They're yearning for each other.
So? Oh my gosh.
Put yourself in the place of a 17-year-old yearning to speak.
I have no idea what that's
class.
Like.
They just want to talk in class so bad.
They just want to talk in class. Yeah, there's a lot of descriptive words about like Bella wanting to touch Edward or like have Edward's arm brush against hers. And they're like, no, we can't. And I'm just like, I can't
wait. You know, they're like pulling away from each other like, oh, we cannot.
It's forbidden. And then the movie's over and class has ended. And I guess Mike noticed that something was definitely going on between Bella and Edward. So then he comes up and he's like, hey, Bella, what's that all about? Calling her. And Bella's like, his name is Edward.
Mike is so annoying.
Oh, I mean, Bella gets mad, obviously, because of how Mike's talking about Edward. And then Edward and Bella are reunited again. Yeah, so Edward drives Bella back home.
He's like dropping her off when Charlie and what's his face come around. Billy.
Oh yeah. They like stop by unannounced. I wrote down, I said, okay, but why does Billy and Jacob keep appearing to the Swan residence out of nowhere? They don't even bother to give Charlie a ring. They just show up. That is true. They just like show up.
Yeah, they really do just show up. And he's like, oh, this is a surprise. Like, is that something they normally did before Bella just started living there? Just like popping up? I'd be sick. I'd be like, leave my fucking house. Go home.
I don't think so. Because, well, yeah, they're fishing buddies. But like,
does that mean he just like comes to his house random?
I don't think so.
And like hangs out in his driveway sometimes. Like, but it says whenever they come that this is like a reunion for them. They had a little falling out and then he just pops up. I would be like, if I was Charlie, I would be 100% creeped out if my friend just started coming around when my teenage daughter moves in with me. If I was Charlie, I'd be like, hello, why are you here, sir?
Hello.
Take your son and leave.
They're trying. Is this Billy trying to set? It's not. But is this Billy trying to set up Bella with Jacob? Like, what's going on?
Oh my God, imagine if it was. Some of these chapters are so uneventful. They're just sitting and looking at each other.
This whole chapter, chapter 11, is very uneventful, which is probably why I have the least amount of notes for it.
Yeah, I literally have not a single note for chapter 11. It's literally just them sitting, being weird in biology class, and then them being weird in the car until they're interrupted.
Anyway, chapter 12, which is called Balancing.
He tells her that him and Alice are going hunting after lunch so he can be with her the next day and not kill her.
Yep.
Very kind that he thought of her well-being.
Oh yeah, Bella like asks him if the vampire siblings like hate her or something like that. And Edward's like, no, they don't hate you. They just like don't understand why I find you so interesting.
Honestly, like other than the scent and everything, he's always talking about how she's such an interesting person. How is she so interesting? He's always like, you're not like other girls. You don't think like other people. But how? Her thoughts are literally all just Edward. That's literally everything that everybody thinks at that school is Edward.
I think it's because he can't read her mind. So he just like,
he probably just projects these crazy like thoughts in her head and assumes she's thinking things that she's not. He probably thinks she's way more interesting than she is.
That's totally possible. Like he, because of the fact that he cannot read her mind, probably is like, well, she must be thinking about this intelligent thought. I know. She's not.
He's probably like, wow, her mind must be going a mile a minute. And inside, she's just like, because that's my head all the time. Edward Cullen would look at me and be like, wow, what a fascinating creature. There's elevator music going on in there.
What's the inside out thing? Like, haven't you ever wondered what is going on inside
your head? Have you ever looked at someone and wondered what is going on inside of their head? Nothing. Rocks.
Bella's just sitting there. That's what it is.
Honestly.
On page 245. Oh, yeah. He says, you're not like anyone I've ever known. You fascinate me. And I literally wrote, it's because you can't read her mind. Like, that's why. She's not like,
yeah, anyone. I have that highlighted too. I told you, you don't see yourself clearly at all. Neither do you. You can't read her mind.
You don't know her. You don't know her at all. So Edward skips school with Alice so they can go hunting. This is definitely one part that I still don't understand. So eventually Bella just like cancels her trip to Seattle, but I still don't understand why.
Because it's going to be too sunny and he was going to go with her. So he wants to take her somewhere else instead.
Was it gonna get too sunny? I don't remember saying that. I just remember them talking about how like Edward kept basically scaring Bella out of it by saying like, oh, it's a big city, it's too dangerous.
I would have wanted to go to Seattle. I love Seattle.
Especially if Edward's driving, like you'll get there in the nick of time.
I'd have been like a stupid meadow, no thanks.
Yeah, and then Bella spends a lot of time second guessing herself and basically worrying about whether or not it's worth it for her to even pursue Edward as a romantic love interest. She's just like, I really like him, but he keeps telling me it's bad. And what if this doesn't work out? And I'm just like, oh, girl, you're in too deep. You can't get out now. And then they get ready for the trip, even though Edward's like, hey, instead of going to Seattle, why don't we go hiking? And I'm like, are you really suggesting hiking to Bella?
I would have been sick. I would have been like, you take me away from Seattle for this. A hike.
And literally this chapter ends with Edward going into the sunlight. And
yeah.
He takes a deep breath. And then it's chapter 13, Confessions. And it starts literally with Edward sparkling.
He just like opens his shirt. He's like, I'll show you. Rips open his shirt. Like, I can't see your arms glittering and your face glittering. You have to take like open up your shirt.
Come on now. So while Edward is exposing himself to Bella, Bella's like, can I touch your arm? And so she does. And then they just like... So, but yeah, Bella touches Edward's skin and like she starts examining him. And Edward asks her, you know, how does she feel and what is she thinking? Because he doesn't know. And it's just,
yeah, they're, I don't even know.
I literally wrote, why is this scene low-key erotic? Like, they're just...
I literally, when I was writing the description, I literally just wrote, they're sexually frustrated for a while.
And that's exactly what happens. Because at one point...
One thing that shook me in this chapter is when he tells her that he was like attracted to the smell of her throat. Not even her neck. He was like attracted to the smell of her throat. And that made me very uncomfortable.
What does that mean?
I know, like he can smell inside of her throat. Does he mean her neck and he just does not know the proper terminology? Edward, you are how many years old? You know the word for neck.
You would have learned it.
I don't know if I'm more uncomfortable by the fact that he's 17 or he's over 100.
Well, realistically, it isn't even as if a lot of time has passed. It's just like Bella touching his arm and staring at him. And then Edward staring at her back. Like, there isn't that much time that has passed in this meadow.
Also in this chapter, he, like, explains what he was thinking the first day when he met her and, like, why he hated her. And that he, like, went away to Alaska after he realized he couldn't switch their classes and get away from her. He's like, I need to book it, go to Alaska, get away from this bitch.
Man, I wish I could do that anytime I was upset. Just, like, leave. Straight up go.
And then he's in Alaska and then he goes, wait, who is this insignificant little girl to make me leave where I want to be? I deserve to be in Forks. I'm coming back. What a pompous asshole.
Who is this insignificant bitch and why is she making me leave Forks? I deserve to be in Forks.
I know. He literally says, who were you, an insignificant little girl, to chase me from the place I wanted to be, so I came back. I would have been like, excuse you?
And then Edward tries to show Bella all about his super strength and his speed and his talents.
Oh, is this when he has a little tantrum and starts throwing trees? Yeah. And is like, you could outrun me, bitch. And then he's like, let me toss a tree.
Yep. And calm then down, this is also the same chapter where Edward says, and so the lion fell in love with the lamb.
What a stupid lamb.
What a sick, masochistic lion.
There were many iconic lines in this chapter.
And then he's like, there's one more thing I want to try. And then he gets ready to kiss her. And then he does.
And then she gets even more woozy and almost falls over.
And then she gets like super duper into it and like tries to passionately kiss him back. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa there. The one phrase got me so bad. It literally says, my lips parted as I breathed in his heady scent. What does that mean?
Ew. That sounds gross. I'm a little uncomfortable. What does that mean? I don't know why that makes me like think of how like Hollister smells. Very heavy. You can't escape it.
He basically drives her or takes her back home. And then it's chapter 14 called Mind Over Matter. Edward tells Bella about his origin story, how he was born in Chicago in 1901 and he died 1918 in the summer due to the Spanish influenza. And I was like, ah, yes, the pandemic.
yes. Not only did Edward Cullen die of the Spanish influenza, he also got COVID.
COVID King Edward Cullen!
Oh my God.
And while Edward is talking about his past, he also talks about how he met Carlisle and how the Cullen-Hale clan gathered.
He also tells Bella that the only other family like them that he knows of is the family in Alaska. Like the only other vegetarian vampire family. Vegetarian vampire family.
What if the phrase vegetarian vampire meant that they just like sucked on vegetables and sucked the juice out of vegetables?
Oh my God, why could I see that being like a thing?
What if vegetarian vampires, they just like eat a bunch of beets?
Don't let the people in Los Angeles get a hold of that diet, Christina. People are going to be really interested in it. I'm a vegetarian vampire loser.
Loser. Isn't that just people who like go on juice cleanses?
No, we don't go on juice cleanses. We suck on carrots and cucumbers to get their nutrients. The blender takes it away. Duh. Don't you read books?
Don't you read books? And then what else happens? Oh yeah. So Bella and Edward get back to Bella's house, but Charlie isn't there yet. And at one point he asks if he can come. Well, he said, can't I come in? But I was like, wait, is this alluding to the whole like part of the superstition or the storyline for vampires, how they're not allowed to enter a house unless they're invited in?
I didn't even know about that, but probably that's kind of funny. I'm sure that's what it's correlated to.
Meanwhile, he's totally been in her house multiple times without him ever being invited inside.
That's probably like a little joke to him. He's like, can't I come inside? He, he, he.
He, he, he. Well, I don't think he's told her yet.
No.
Yeah, he hasn't told her yet, so she doesn't even know. So he's just...
I think he tells her when they go inside. I think that's when he tells her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Bella's like, yeah, you can come inside, and they're chatting in the kitchen, and he's like, oh yeah, I've been spying on you. And she's like, wait, what?
Isn't she like flattered though? She's like, I want to be upset, but like, I'm flattered.
Yeah, she can't seem to feel angry about it, but she also catches that when she realizes her own reaction. She's like, wait, I'm not even upset that you were watching me. And then Edward tells Bella all about the fact that he's heard her talk in her sleep. And she's like, oh my God, that is so embarrassing. which it is embarrassing. He says that she's interesting when she sleeps.
Because she talks about him missing home and saying his name. That's so interesting.
That's so creepy.
And then Charlie comes home and notices that she's all excited and thinks she's gonna sneak out of the house.
Charlie's like, I've never seen you this animated. Where are you going? And she's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to bed.
She's literally just going to sit upstairs in her bed with Edward, but he thinks that she's sneaking out. Doesn't he do something to her car too to like prevent her? Like he like unplugs her battery in her car.
Yeah, he does. Like he does. So that
Edward's like, is that really all it would have taken to get you to stop from going somewhere? If that's all that would have stopped me, I would have been like, oh my God, my car is broken.
I would have called Edward if I were sneaking out and been like, can you pick me up?
Honestly.
When Bella's eating dinner with her dad, she's literally eating lasagna and drinking milk.
I was thinking that, like, it's so funny that in 2005, it was kind of like a common thing to just drink milk with your dinner. I can't imagine people just like, oh yeah, I'm just having a glass of milk with my dinner tonight. And she goes to take a shower and she comes back in her ratty old t-shirt and he's like, nice.
She also makes, like, Bella in her pajamas after she's taken a shower goes downstairs to say goodnight to her dad, and her dad is like astonished because she you know, suddenly doesn't look like she's gonna go anywhere. She's like, I have to make it look like I'm not leaving because I'm not.
Yeah. I'm just gonna go lay in bed with a vampire boy.
Oh my god. This is illegal. Like, this can't possibly be correct.
No.
But I wrote down how, so I put, I don't think I'll ever get over the fact that Edward's just constantly over at Bella's house every night, and that's just like the fact.
Yeah.
And also, how does the head chief of the police department not have better, like, security in his own home? Like, how does he...
Forks, what's happening?
But how does he not notice that, like, there's another being?
Listen, I'm not... Charlie is a very kind man. I'm not sure if he's the smartest man. I love him. How many thoughts does he have? I'm not sure.
I feel like Charlie just thinks about work, Bella, fishing.
And then he's like, you seeing that Mike Newton kid? And she's like, no!
And yeah, so Bella's back in her room, chilling with Edward. They're cuddling, I think.
Being erotic, probably.
Probably.
As they do.
They're just chatting and talking. And then Edward's like, all right, it's getting late. Are you going to go to sleep or do you have more questions? And he's like, you should probably sleep. You can ask them later. And Bella's like, are you going to disappear? And he's like, no. And then Edward talks about how Rosalie and Emmett are... Emmett? Rosalie and Emmett are going to get... married soon, and she's like, is that marriage the same like it is for humans?
She just wants to know if she can get it.
Yeah,
she's like, is that really what you want to know?
Basically,
he's like, will that ever work for us? And he's like, no, you're never getting this vampire D.
But he's don't also dream of it. Like, yeah, so Bella brings up marriage and other things as she's talking to Edward, and Edward's like, please stop. Please do not go there.
He's like, do you even find me attractive in that way at all? He's like, I'm not a human, but I am a man.
Oh my god. Like, yeah. Gross, I don't like this at all.
Edward, please stop being horny on Maine. I don't appreciate
this. Please don't be horny on Maine, Edward. And then, yeah, she goes to sleep in his cold arms, which I find that would be very uncomfortable. And then we get to chapter 15, which is called The Cullens. Bella wakes up and she notices that Edward's still there, and she's like, Edward, you're here.
You stayed. But then she noticed he went home and changed his shirt, and she's sick.
And she's also like, how dare you leave me? And I'm like, Bella, this is not so, he shouldn't be in your room in the first place.
I know.
Like, I also like how she calls them human minutes. She's like, oh,
I know.
I need another human minute. I would be like, can I have a few human hours?
Honestly, like, please leave me alone for a little bit. Do not come back.
Oh yeah. They get ready for breakfast. And Bella says to him, can I get you anything?
What a little smart ass. I love her.
Oh, and he suddenly is like, how would you feel about meeting my family?
I would have been like, sir, I've known you for 4 days. And I've already met your father, please.
The family already knows her.
Literally, Esme is the only one left, and she doesn't care. She just is happy that Edward is happy. Is Edward pressuring her into this relationship too fast?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, meet my mom. Introduce me to your father.
He's like, are you going to tell Charlie I'm your boyfriend or not? And she goes, is that what you are? So Edward drives Bella and him to the Cullen household.
The house they describe in the book is so much different than like the movie. I completely forgot how it was supposed to originally look. It's like a timeless white 3-story 100-year-old home.
Yeah, so Bella meets Carlisle and Esme, and then Edward's like, where's Alice and Jasper? And then Alice pops out of nowhere and she's literally bouncing over.
And Esme and Carlisle are looking at her like, stop that. She's but like, Bella loves it. She's like, it's natural for her.
At one point, Edward plays the piano,
which makes Bella cry, and then he wipes her tear away and licks
it.
Finger. I'm very uncomfortable by that. Could you imagine someone wiping your tears and then just licking their finger? Oh my God.
That is so...
I'm so... Ugh.
That's very strange.
There are no coffins, but there's a really, like, big wooden cross, like, hanging in their hallway. It's creepy.
You know.
That was a nostalgic piece from Carlisle's childhood.
Yep. Oh, this is the part where you find out Carlisle's age.
Mm-hmm. He just celebrated his 362nd birthday.
But when he turned into a vampire, he was 23.
So he's apparently a 23. He's younger than us.
I know. That's why I'm losing my head a little.
I could not imagine being a vampire with all these vampire kids and a vampire wife and a vampire doctor career. I'd be overwhelmed, man.
Yeah, it says he ran through the streets in Carlisle. He was 23 and very fast. Carlisle was 23 years old when he died and turned into a vampire.
That's a really bad year to die at, I think.
Yep, Carlisle knew what his father would do if he found out that Carlisle turned into a vampire. And what did 23-year-old dying Carlisle do? He buried himself in rotting potatoes to stay alive.
What was the logic behind that? Like, hey, let me just get some rotting potatoes real quick, toss them on top of myself and see what happens.
Well, I think it was just that he was trying to hide himself.
Carlisle's father was a vampire slayer.
That's
or something.
Well, his father was a pastor.
Yeah, and he led hunts for witches, werewolves, and vampires.
This is like my favorite... what's the word, like, plot line in a lot of vampire stories, how, like, the person who's a vampire came from a family of hunters of vampires. Even more reason why I love Carlisle so much.
Love Carlisle, icon.
And then we get to chapter 16, which is called
Carlisle. How fitting. It's almost like we were just talking about him.
And so they go to Carlisle's office and they knock on the door and they're like, hello? And Carl's like, come in!
And Edward wants to show Bella the story of their family and Carlisle's history. And he's like, will you tell the story? And he's like, no, bitch, I'm about to head out. They need me at the hospital.
And he's also like, Edward, you tell it much better than I do anyway.
Yeah, and then he takes her over to a wall full of all of these different picture frames, full of colorful pictures and dull pictures and all these... random ass pictures, and he just takes her to this dull little ass picture.
My favorite
thing. Like, what's special about this?
My favorite thing when he's talking about, like, the very beginnings of Carlisle's story. So after Carlisle turned into a vampire, he was very, very upset that he was a vampire, and he tried to kill himself, but it just wouldn't happen. So he, like, tried to drown himself. He tried to, like, jump from tall heights so that he would die in that kind of way, but he would find that's very difficult to kill a vampire. And then it says so he found out that he could just spend all that time, like, learning. And then goes, he studied by night and planned by day, he swam to France. And Bella goes, he swam to France?
She's like so shocked.
Me too. He swam.
Like, people swim the channel all the time, Bella. He's like, I know, it just sounded weird. Go on. That was funny.
And Edward's like, yeah, swimming's easy for us. And Bella's just like, everything is easy for you guys. Anyway, going back to Carlisle, so he swims to France. And he starts to learn a bunch, which I would totally, if I were a being that had a very, very long life, I would definitely just go through learning as much as I possibly could, which makes sense. And it's through Carlisle learning that he found medicine and the ability to save human lives. And he was like, well, if I am a being who takes away life, I might as well be one who can also bring people back to life.
That's
which is very fitting, very deep and compassionate of him. And somehow he ends up in Italy and finds out there are more vampires.
They're like, we don't know why you don't eat humans. And Carlisle's like, well, I don't know why you do eat humans. I don't understand.
And then he's like, I'm going to America. And then he goes to America.
He decided to try the new world. It says the new world.
The new world. And then he ends up in Chicago,
where he finds his son, Eddie Boy. Edward's dying alone in the hospital. Both of his parents had already died. And Carlisle's like, well, this little dude's got nothing to lose. Let's experiment. I'm lonely.
Basically, that's what happened. And then Edward just goes, and now we've come full circle. And then they move on from Edward's, from Carlisle's office, and they go to Edward's room. And it has no bed, just a sofa.
A black leather sofa. That's like a porn couch. I was very uncomfortable when I read that. I was like, it couldn't even be like a nice chaise lounge. It had to be a black leather sofa.
And then, okay, this one part I don't understand at all. It says, I didn't see him leap at me. It was much too fast. I only found myself suddenly airborne, and then we crashed onto the sofa, knocking it into the wall. I don't understand. Like, I can't visualize that. Like, what exactly?
He like jumped at her, pushed her onto the couch with so much force that the couch moved into the wall.
Why would he do that? He already knows he's stronger than her.
He's like play fighting. Like, boys like to play wrestle. He probably thinks he's being cute.
But why?
He probably Googled, like, how to flirt with girl. That's what it said.
And yeah, so they're play fighting in Edward's room. And then someone knocks on the door and is like, can we come in? And it's Alice and Jasper. Alice says, it sounds like you were having Bella for lunch and we came to see if you would share.
That's hilarious. And then Jasper says the real reason they came and bombarded them, and it's because there's a storm a-brewing. And what does that mean when a storm is a-brewing in Forks?
Baseball.
Vampire baseball.
Vamps.
And why do vampires play baseball in the thunderstorms? We will see.
We're going to find out. So basically they invite Bella to go to the baseball game, and Edward's like, do you want to go? And she's like, sure, but like, where are we going? I would not want to go if it's supposed to be thunderstorming and somebody's just like, do you want to go to this baseball game? No.
Yeah, but Alice says they're gonna be dry, so we can always bet on Alice.
I don't know. And then we get to chapter 17,
the game.
Wow, we're already chapter 17. So it is beginning to drizzle, and Edward has already taken Bella back to her house, and they see that Charlie is also home. But who else is there? Jacob and Billy.
Of course, Jacob and Billy.
Oh, and Edward's upset. He says, this is crossing the line. And Bella's like, did Billy come over to warn Charlie? But Charlie wasn't even home yet.
Yeah, they're literally parked in their driveway, like, waiting for them to come home. I would be so pissed if, like, I got home and like my dad's friend was just sitting in the driveway. I'd be like, do I need to call the police? I mean, my dad.
I know, I'd be creeped out.
Yeah.
And basically they have this minor altercation where Bella says hi to Billy and Jacob and is like, Charlie's not here yet. And Billy's like, okay, I brought this for your dad. And she's like, all right, he's not here yet. You can leave now.
And then he's like, hey, Jacob, I think I got a picture of your sister in the car. Why don't you go grab that so I can give it to Charlie? And then he's like, listen here, you little son of a bitch. I know you're hanging out with Edward Collins. Stop it. He's like, I don't think that's any of your business, Billy.
Billy's like, listen here, Bella, I know you're fucking with the vampires.
I know. He's like an icon, though. She's like, she was saying, like, that reputation couldn't actually be earned, could it? Because the Cullens never set foot on the reservation, do they? She's, like, showing him that she knows what's up.
And then Jacob comes back, and he's like, I can't find the picture, Dad.
Oh, I must have left it at home.
And Billy's like, well, okay, let's go, Jacob. We gotta leave now.
He's like, what? We're leaving already?
Poor Jacob.
Poor Jacob's so confused. Not a thought going on in this little boy's head. He does not understand what's going on. He's like, what? We're going home? Oh, okay. Bye, Bella. Like,
in the same way that Bella's brain is just her sitting in the meadow, it's Jacob's brain where he's just sitting on the beach.
I feel like Jacob is just sitting in an empty room with like two blocks, like slapping them together.
And yeah, so Billy and Jacob leave, and she changes into more casual clothes because she's gonna watch the baseball game. And then Charlie comes home,
and she's got to confront the issue that she's got to tell her human dad about her vampire boyfriend.
And she's also like, yeah, Billy stopped by and they gave you some fish fry.
He's like, oh yeah,
my favorite.
Fuck yeah, fish fry.
Fuck yeah, fish fry.
I could go for a fish fry. Is it Lent yet?
Oh, almost. She tells her dad that she went over to the Cullen's place and that she has a date with Edward Cullen.
And he keeps calling him Edwin.
Edwin, yep.
It's hilarious.
Which one is Edwin?
He thinks it's Emmett, the big one. And when he finds out that it's actually, you know, Edward, he's like, oh, okay, that's a little better then.
Okay,
I feel like the look of that other kid.
Honestly, I don't blame him if he would be intimidated by Emmett. Charlie is very, very stunned that Bella would potentially be playing baseball, but she's not. She's just going to watch. And he just goes, you must really like this guy.
I love how they say that, like, only in Washington would she say that she was going to watch baseball in the middle of a thunderstorm and no one would bat an eye. Honestly, though.
It's true. That is true. And then who appears? Edward!
In a big ass Jeep.
I know. That's not his car. So Edward appears and Bella introduces Charlie to Edward and Charlie to Edward. And then they drive close to the destination where they're gonna play baseball. And then he's like, sorry, Bella, we gotta walk.
We gotta zoomie through the trees.
Man, I'd be pissed if he'd suddenly be like, we gotta walk. Like, didn't even offer to carry me.
I know, I'd be like, no, you're carrying me.
I would be like, bitch, why did I come here then?
Okay, so they run to the clearing where all of the other Cullens are waiting for them, correct?
Yes, except for he stops
to kiss a little bit.
I know, which makes no sense to me. I don't understand.
They're teenagers. They just want to kiss a little bit.
He kissed her eyelids, and then he kissed her cheek, and then he, like, kissed her face a bunch.
Does he, like, run his nose along her, like, face for a while?
Probably.
He does that a couple times. And then they go into the clearing, and she goes over to Esme, because she's just going to watch, because Esme's the ref. She likes to make sure they keep things fair because they're all cheaters.
We love a mom.
She's literally the best. I love her so much. She, like, goes straight into her trauma. She's just, like, standing with Bella, like, getting ready for the game. And she's like, oh, yeah, I killed myself because my baby died.
And Bella's like, Wait, hold on. You lost a child? And Esme's like, oh, did Edward not tell you that I lost a child and trying to kill myself?
Like, sorry your son didn't inform me about all of your human life trauma before our first date. Like,
oh my God. She says, Edward just said you fell.
Yeah, you fell. That's like the most traumatizing thing any vampire has said to her.
I know, Edward told her all these horrible things, and Esme telling Bella about how she tried to kill herself after her child died, and she's like, whoa.
This is, I know, and strong. Then she's like, Edward said you fell, and she goes, always the gentleman. Like, yeah, so kind to shield your suicide from me. For me to find out like this while we're about to watch baseball.
That's literally the last moment that happens, and then they just go, let's play ball!
She's going through a lot.
And so the Cullen family play their game of the baseball.
Comical.
It's a lot of echoing sounds, and then Bella realizes why they have to play when it's thunderstorming.
Yeah, because it's loud as fuck. I think it's funny that she says that none of them had gloves. None of them had gloves. Why would they have gloves?
Yeah. I'm also surprised that Carlisle was able to make it to the game, because he had just gone to the hospital, and I'm like, must be a slow day at the hospital.
He got called into the hospital to do something. What did he get called into the hospital to do?
I don't remember, but if he was able to make it back later that day, then...
Stephanie Meyer, make it make sense, please.
Because usually when doctors are on call, they're like, their whole day is kind of shot until like very, very late.
What if Carlisle got to the baseball game and he goes to swing the first thing and his pager goes off? I'd be like, oh, I quit.
And then there's more of them playing. And then Alice makes this weird face, and Esme's like, Alice, tell me what's wrong, honey bunch. And she's like, they're coming.
Edward and Alice have a little like mind conversation, and they just know.
They freak out. And then Carlisle's like, okay, what should we do?
They decide they're just going to keep playing the game because the other vampires are coming. They want to play with them, but these vampires are not like them. Edward asks Alice if they're thirsty, and she like nods that they are. So they're like, oh shit. So they're all kind of like scrambling to act casual, like they don't have a little human with them. And then they tell Bella to put her hair down, which I don't understand.
I literally wrote a note for that too.
Like, wouldn't her hair in a ponytail mask the scent more than her like flailing it around?
Exactly. I never, like,
Alice is like, I can smell her across the field. Yeah, because the bitch just waved out her ponytail everywhere. I don't understand. I think we need to get Stephanie Meyer on here to explain some of the hitting questions that we've got.
And then the very, very last page of chapter 17 is that they continue playing baseball as if nothing's wrong. And then Edward's like, I'm sorry, Bella.
Yeah.
And then they just get ready for what's about to come. And I literally wrote down, I can't believe Emmett is the reason that the rogue vampires come to ruin Bella's life.
Oh.
And then I also wrote, yep, Bella is not getting home early now.
Nope.
Because before they left, Edward promised Charlie he'd get Bella home early.
You liar!
You liar! And that's how chapter 17 ends.
All right, and that's where we left off.
So for our final installment of us rereading the Twilight book?
Yeah.
We're going to be reading chapters 18 through...
25, I think there is. 24 or 25 chapters.
Till the end of the book. And yeah, we're going to find out who exactly is going to ruin Bella's life. Woo!
And will they succeed?
And will Bella survive, or will she die? Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Anyway, any final thoughts?
I'm just nervous to get into the end of the book. I don't want to be uncomfy anymore. But I'm excited to see what these new and exciting vampires have in store.
So obviously we ended this episode's set of chapters on, well, we haven't quite gotten to the climax yet. We're like getting there.
No, yeah. We got like right before. Like we're right at the... right at the end.
We're just like, oh,
this is a cliffhanger, y'all.
You're like, who's coming? We don't know yet. Well, I mean, we know, but
yeah, if you've read this book, if you're like 24, 25 like us and you've read this book like a decade ago, you know.
Or you know. if you're 15 years old and you're like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? You'll and find
stay
out
tuned.
Stay tuned.
You can read along with us. Discuss it.
And I think that about wraps up episode 3 of Cullen the Shots. Am I right or wrong?
You are correct.
All right. So thanks everyone for listening to this episode as we really struggled to like summarize each of the chapters.
I don't know what's going on most of the time. So
I think we were both so distracted by how Bella and Edward were just like touching and kissing each other.
I didn't know what notes to write for a majority of the book because I don't want to write Bella's horned up on every other page. And like Edward's trying to not grope Bella. Like that's essentially all the middle section of the book is.
Literally the middle section. With a little bit of vampire baseball. The middle section of the book is Bella and Edward are all horned up and then baseball.
Literally. Like, I get it. Baseball gets me riled up, too. But come on, guys.
The adrenaline rush.
The adrenaline rush.
But anyway. The
adrenaline rush. It's very common. You can pick it up.
But anyway, you can join us every other Monday as we fall right back into our Twilight obsession phase like it's 2008 again.
You can find Callin' the Shots on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your usual podcasting platforms.
As always, you can come sit with us next time at lunch for more of our sparkling personalities. Bye!